Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Praise to the Lamb who is seated on the throne of heaven. Praise be to God who offers God's love to us. Let us sing continually of God's wisdom and power and might. Let our voices be raised in joyful celebration. Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor and glory and majesty. Let our hearts rejoice at God's redeeming love for us. Amen.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed.
Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict, in this his glorious day. He the men now serve him against unnumbered foes.
Let courage rise with danger, and strength will strength oppose.
Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long.
This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be.
Be with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Amen.
Our affirmation of faith. Jesus stays with us in the Spirit, who renews our hearts, moves us to faith, leads us in the truth, stands by us in our need, and makes our obedience fresh and vibrant. The Spirit's gifts are here to stay in rich variety, fitting responses to timely needs. We thankfully see each other as gifted members of the fellowship, which delights in the creative Spirit's work. He gives more than enough to each believer for God's praise and our neighbor's welfare. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the 31st chapter of Proverbs, verses 10 through 31. A good wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and tasks for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes herself coverings. Her cloth is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates while he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers girdles to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceit, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature's unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing. Told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly star as it's laden with snow. Who imagined the sun and gives stars to its light? It conceals it to bring us the cool.
You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God.
Our scripture text this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 12, through the 4th chapter, verse 1. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning, I would like to talk about going for the goal. Every sport has its own goal or objective, doesn't it? What's the goal of basketball? To make the most shots, right? Baseball, football, even NASCAR racing. Every sport has its goal, and winners have a plan to win. Paul shares with us 4 strategies if you are striving for the goal. Your first strategy is to banish the perfect obsession. Let's look again at Philippians 3, verse 12, where it says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Paul begins by saying, "I strive for perfection, but I'm not there yet." He said, "I'm not at the point of absolute spiritual maturity. I still have a ways to go." And if Paul could humble himself and say, "I still have room to grow," surely you and I can as well. However, there are some people who live life with a perfectionist obsession. You know exactly who I'm talking about. The man who reworks everything until he accomplishes nothing. The person who is so compulsive about cleaning her home, having no life but the vacuum cleaner and the dishwasher. Perfectionism will flood over into every part of your life. I remember a young couple. They joyfully discovered after years of trying that they were going to have a baby. However, they were both perfectionists. They did what a lot of expectant parents do. They purchased books on how to raise a child, but they went overboard. They read every book that they could get their hands on. They taped the baby experts on the afternoon talk shows to watch later that evening. They devoured every DVD suggested to them about childcare. As I witnessed this obsession develop and consume time, I asked, why? Why are they spending each waking minute reading or watching about child growth specialists? I still remember the answer. We want to be perfect parents. It was funny, coming months later, after reading until they were blurry-eyed and listening till their ears bled, and said, "None of those professionals agree on how to raise children. One says to be permissive and another claims you must be the disciplinarian. We're never going to learn how to be perfect parents." I just smiled because I know that no one's perfect. And that's the story of how Vicky and I became parents. When Paul said he was not perfect, he was stating that he has not come to the place in his Christian life where growth in spiritual maturity has been completed, beyond that which there's no room for further development. Chasing after perfection will devastate you. I thought that this was an interesting article to share on Mother's Day. called the Pressure for Perfection. It was a British website, and it had some very interesting results from a survey of mothers. The survey showed that 91% of mothers constantly feel under the spotlight because of pressure to be the perfect mom. They blame that pressure on the media, the government, schools, and educational campaigns. But despite feeling pressure to be perfect, 80% said that they were pretty or very confident that they were doing a good job. Of the 514 mothers who took the survey, more than half, 54%, said that they spend more quality time with their children than they themselves got in childhood. It's sad to watch people throw away their lives, striving for the illusion of perfection. How much more productive and helpful would it be to just join Paul and say, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect." Remember, a perfectionist is a person who takes extreme pains while giving them to others. If you're going to go for the goal this morning, you must banish the perfection obsession. And not only must you banish the perfection obsession, but we also need to purge away the past. Notice what Paul says in verse 13. "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." Where it says forgetting, Paul used a strong word in the Greek, and it means completely forgetting. Paul uses an illustration here of a Greek runner completely forgetting his opponents whom he is leading in the race. Just as a runner's speed is slowed, should he think of those behind him and the thud, thud of their pounding feet, so the Christian's onward progress is hindered should he dwell in the past, full of failures and sins, full of heartaches and discouragements, full of disappointments and thwarted hopes and plans. As long as a Christian has made things right with God and man, he should completely forget about the past. Not only should Christians purge away the past, so should parents. If you are a parent, then you had experienced mistakes and failures in your life as well. Life is made up of mistakes and failures. The people who succeed in life are the ones who overcame their earlier mistakes. They purge their past. Maybe you remember years ago the Nike advertisement where a voice came over the television saying, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life. And that's why I succeeded." Those words were spoken by Michael Jordan, by most standards, the greatest basketball player ever to play the game of basketball. Don't forget the best Major League Baseball teams lose one of every three games. That's a statistic. The best batters fail to get hits 6 to 7 times out of 10. One minor league player in 14 makes it to the big leagues. Still, they consider the chance to succeed well worth the possibility of failing. They say you can't stop swinging for fear of striking out. If you're going for the goal, you must banish the perfection obsession and purge away the past. People who go for the goal also plunge into the future. Again, we read verse 13. "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." He says, straining toward what is ahead. It describes stretching a muscle to its limit. And I picture a runner straining every muscle to reach the finish line. Paul was living and acting in the present. Many people today try to live in the future. Do you know what the busiest day in the world is going to be? It's not Christmas. It's not the day before and after your anniversary. It's someday. Everyone in the world has something scheduled to do someday. I'm sure we've all made plans for someday. But the fact is, sometimes someday never comes through. Paul is the ultimate example of living each day to the fullest, living each day as if it were your last. When he was imprisoned in Rome, he didn't sit there resting, thinking about all the things that he would do when he got out of jail. He wrote letters to churches. He sang praises to God and even converted some of the people who had imprisoned him. Paul used every day to the utmost. People who reach their goals, banish the perfection obsession, purge the past, and plunge into the future, they also zero in on the goal. Verse 14 says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You must have long-range goals to keep you from being frustrated by short-term failures. I'll tell you a quick story. It was a fog-shrouded morning, July 4th, 1952, when a young woman named Florence Chadwick waded into the water off Catalina Island. She intended to swim the channel from the island to the California coast. Long-distance swimming was not new to her. She had been the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. The water was numbingly cold that day. The fog was so thick that she could hardly see the boats in her party. Several times, sharks had to be driven away with rifle fire. She swam more than 15 hours before she asked to be taken out of the water. And her trainer tried to encourage her to keep swimming since they were so close to land. But when Florence looked, all she saw was fog. So she quit, only 1 mile from her goal. Later, she said, I'm not excusing myself. But if I could have seen the land, I might have made it. It wasn't the cold or fear or exhaustion that caused Florence Chadwick to fail. It was the fog. Many times we too fail, not because we're afraid or because of peer pressure or because of anything other than the fact that we lose sight of the goal. Maybe that's why Paul said, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. 2 months after her failure, Florence Chadwick walked off of the same beach into the same channel, and she swam the distance. She set a new speed record, all because she could see the land. The goal on which believers must focus is being like Jesus Christ. That might be why Oswald Chambers once said, my goal is God Himself, at any cost, dear Lord, by any road. This Mother's Day, a day that we look at the women in our lives who have gone on and gone on triumphantly, we must remember that if we're going to be both goal setters and goal achievers, we have to have a strategy. And again, Paul suggests that 4-point strategy, banishing the perfection obsession, purging away the past, plunging into the future, and zeroing in on the goal. Won't you pray with me this morning? Dear God, some days feel just too hard. We're hurting, struggling, fighting fear and worry at every turn. Thank you in the midst of it all. You haven't left us to fend for ourselves. Forgive us for doubting you are there. Forgive us for thinking you've forgotten. Forgive us for believing we somehow know the better way than you. You are fully trustworthy. You are all-powerful. You are able. You are Lord over every situation, no matter how difficult it may seem. You are healer and will never waste the grief we carry today. You will use all things for good in some way. Anything is possible with you. Nothing is too difficult for you. We pray for those who grieve today. We ask for your comfort to surround those who weep. We pray for the peace of your presence to cover our minds and thoughts as you remind us the enemy can never steal us out of your hands. He never has the final say over our lives. We are kept safe in your presence forever, whether in life or in death, or life after death. We thank you that your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts are bigger than our thoughts. We lay it all down at your feet, every burden, every care, believing that that's the safest place for it to be. We love you, Lord. We need your fresh grace today. We pray of these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior and Redeemer, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain.
So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down.
Stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
He was white as snow.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down.
Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.